3. I was trying to understand my mother when she called us middle class all through my childhood, and why she said this, since by all the markers of economic resources, education, and cultural access within the U.S., we were working class. When I years later asked her why, she said that we were middle class because we lived in a house between two apartment buildings. I was trying to think about what was right about what she said. The house she was talking about was owned by my father's boss. It was built out of cinder blocks, and it had 4 rooms plus a bathroom, a kitchen, and a living room at the front, 2 bedrooms at the back. It also had a carport and a gravel driveway leading to the carport. It had a linoleum floor. It had 2 picture windows, one looking out on the carport and one on the apartments next door. The house was pleasant. Its main drawback was that it leaked a lot and was very damp, so things in the house tended to get covered in a green mildew if left on the floor. When my mother was saying we were middle class, she was saying something less about our house and more about our location on the block and about our location on the globe at the same time. I was just trying to think about what was right about what she said. I was trying to think about the role of the U.S. government enforcing reduced tariff barriers on numerous countries. I was trying to think about the general agreement on tariffs and trade. I was trying to think about women packing ice cream in the Gaza Strip. I was trying to think about the World Trade Organization. I was trying to think about women sewing garments in Liberia. I was trying to think about the North American Free Trade Agreement. I was trying to think about women selling shrimp in Honduras. I was trying to think about the Dominican Republic Central American Free Trade Agreement. I was trying to think about women cultivating cassava in Zambia. I was trying to think about a number of bilateral agreements. I was trying to think about women panning the tailings of diamond gravel for gold in Sierra Leone. I was trying to think about Hannah Wiener's Radcliffe and Guatemalan women. Wiener keeps one eye on herself and one eye on her neighborhood and one eye on another place as she's put statements about Radcliffe women and Guatemalan women side by side. It is not known when Wiener wrote Radcliffe and Guatemalan women, but she probably wrote it in the 1980s. She might have been thinking about how the 1980s began in Guatemala with the police burning alive 39 people who were occupying or were hostages of those occupying the Spanish embassy. She might have been thinking about how the intensity of government killings peaked in 1982, with estimates of at least 18,000 state killings in that year alone. She might have been thinking about the Scorched Earth campaign that, in addition to killing hundreds of thousands, displaced about 1 million people. She might have been thinking about how the decade ended in August and September of 1989, with the government kidnapping and then disappearing a number of student leaders. She might have been thinking about how the Guatemalan government did all of this with the support of the U.S. government. She might have been thinking about how the U.S. government began funding the security forces of the Guatemalan government in the 1960s, and how close ties remained between the two governments through the 1980s. Radcliffe and Guatemalan women is probably all found language, but I do not know this for sure. The sentences that are obviously about Radcliffe women sound as if they are from an alumna magazine. Some of the sentences that are obviously about Guatemalan women are from Severa Martinez Pelea's La Patria del Crio, a book not yet translated into English. Others seem to be from some sort of human rights report. Wiener's piece is full of juxtaposition, fragmentation, and lack of attribution, as if to suggest there is nothing easy to say about this relationship between Radcliffe women and Guatemalan women. She avoids presenting herself as knowing but uninvolved witness, as the cliched poet prophet. And as Wiener was a Radcliffe graduate, the piece also suggests that she might be a participant and part of the problem.